But we'll get started. We'll be in Genesis chapter 12. If you will, please turn there with me. We'll begin in verse 1. And I do ask, please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Father, thank you for this day and for your blessing in it. Lord, thank you that you have opened our eyes to see and our ears to hear. And Lord, thank you especially that you have opened our hearts to receive. Lord, that we have turned to you in faith and in trust, and that we follow you as you lead. Help us, Father, where we fail you. Strengthen us against the world and against ourselves. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. You know, most of us, if we've been around long enough, will have had opportunity in life to take unexpected trips. Can I get a hand? Anybody ever had the unexpected trip that you took just come upon you and somebody said, "Hey, we're going on a trip, or I want you to go with me"? I just had someone tell me this morning that I was going on an unexpected trip. If it snows anywhere within 50 miles of us, they're going to knock on my door. We're going to go find it. So you never know, but you should always be prepared, right? You should always be prepared for having to go or having to do, having to endure, having to face things. I mean, we wake up every morning. We don't know what's coming in the next 10 minutes. But we keep marching in faith and in trust, knowing that if it's as good as it was yesterday, even if it was as bad as it was yesterday, we can get through it. And a new morning can rise upon us, right? We just take one step after another. Abraham had a journey that he was about to take. He was called by God to take a journey in life. And if you see, he said to Abraham, "I want you to get out of your country, and I want you to get away from your family, and I want you to come to a land that I will show you." This is Abraham's calling. And in this calling, we face similar types of things, don't we? I want you to leave behind. I want you to begin a new journey, and I want you to face these obstacles without a support system in your life except for me. And if we are faithful and true in trusting God and knowing that he is with us, it's easy to take those steps. What do you do on those mornings, though, when it's hard to take that step? Another cup of coffee? Another prayer? Because we have to keep moving, don't we? We can't just stop. Life isn't going to wait on us. We have to keep going. Life will keep moving forward. And if we're going to have a life at all, we've got to be involved in it. And to be involved means we have to be out in it. And if we're going to be out in it, I can't think of anybody to travel with better than God. And Abraham, he said, "I will follow you. I know that you have asked me to step away from things that are already in my life." And now I want you to think about this. Because when God was asking him to step away from his country and from his family, he was asking Abraham to step away from things that could hinder him in following his will, or even would hinder him and persuade him to do things that wasn't part of God's will. How many of you know if you have all of the comforts of the world around you that you've grown up with, you can be hindered and shackled from doing what God really wants you to do in life? How many of you know that if you keep your family as your support system as close and as tight as possible, that can even be a hindrance for you in being what God wants you to be in life? Because your family will tell you, even at times, well, that's not what God wants you to do. And if you've never experienced that, I'm happy for you. You know, I can attest to a time when I first left the Navy and had decided that I was going to answer God's call to ministry. I had a long way to go to get to ministry. Still had to go to school. I still had to prepare for everything that was coming. I was going to have to move from family into an area that was new to me and to our family, my wife and our kids. And I had people tell me, God really doesn't want you to do that. Why can't you do that and just stay right here? Why can't you just be a good person in our church and just stay here? Why do you have to go anywhere else to do ministry? Because God said I had to. You know how hard it is to turn away from family and from friends when they're telling you, you don't have to do that. Why would God ask you to do that? You've got everything you need right here. Well, I've got everything I need when I go, too, if I have God with me. And how many of you know that God has never let you down? And He never will. You may see some lean times, but that's okay. Abraham's going to run into a famine. Abraham said, pack up, we're going. God's going to show us a land that we're going to inherit. And they get all the way into the land, and there's a famine. Abraham didn't say, oh, I was wrong, I better head back home. And we shouldn't do the same things when we face obstacles in our life following God. Abraham is a great example for us. It's a great look at what it takes to be someone dedicated to following God through faith and through trust. Even when the obstacles are there, we keep right on marching. He had to leave behind his country. He had to leave behind his family. And he said to him, if you do this, I will make you a great nation. Now, what does it take to be a nation? Do you ever think about that? I will make of you a great nation. Now, Abraham could have formed armies big enough to create a nation. I mean, he got into the land and he began to build relationships, and we see that he had skirmishes with his neighbors that he had victory over, and there were a lot of things. He was building those relationships and people were trusting Abraham, and he could have called people under him and began to set up a kingdom of sorts, if you will, but that's not what God is promising Abraham. God is promising to make a nation of Abraham. And you see later on, Abraham understood it that way because he says, I don't even have an heir. So if God says to Abraham, I'm going to make a nation of you, then you need to expect it's going to take what? Time. More time than you will have on this earth. Because it has to start with the first child. And a family has to grow. And a family has to continue to grow and to expand. And in order for it to become a great nation, it takes many, many years for the people to become a great people. But Abraham took this promise and he trusted in God. And he began to show that even while he was walking among those in the land that he was in. When he had one of those skirmishes, if you go back and read, you know, Lot was captured, others were captured, property was taken. Abraham got his men, they went after the perpetrators, they took everything back, brought it back, gave it back to the people that it was stolen from. And the king of Sodom, how many of you have ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Right? King of Sodom, he came back to make an offering or to give a reward, if you will, to Abraham. And Abraham had something very specific to say to the king of Sodom. And you find that in Genesis 14. Listen to what he says. I have raised my hand to the Lord, God, the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and of earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham said to a great person in the world, in the area in which he lived, a king who came to give him a reward, and a handsome reward at that, no thank you. I don't want you telling the rest of these people around here that you made me rich, because I have somebody else that I'm trusting, the Lord God Most High. I have raised my hands to Him. I have pledged myself to Him. He has pledged to be with me, and I will honor Him in all things. If He wants me to be rich, I will be rich. If He wants me to be in poverty and in famine, then I will be in poverty and in famine. But I will have everything that I need. Everything. Everything. Though he had no family with him, except those that were right there, that extended family support system, I can see him now. Sarah, get my cell phone for me. I need to call for help. Is the, you'll like this, is the internet up? Have we had an oil change in the car yet? I mean, you didn't just drive back home in 4 to 6 hours back then. If you made 20 miles a day, you did a wonderful thing. And then you had to unpack, set up the tents again. Next morning, if you wanted to keep on pushing, you had to pack everything up, push another 20 miles if you could get it, unpack, set the tents up. I mean, that's hard traveling, isn't it? And he was out there, and he was trusting in God. And the king of Sodom says, hey, I've got a reward for you. It's going to be a handsome reward. Abraham said, I don't think so. But what I really like is how upright he was before the king of Sodom. I'm not taking anything from you. Not a thread, not a sandal strap. I'm not taking anything that is yours, because I don't want you telling the world that you made me rich. God is what makes me. God is what guides me. God is what strengthens me. And only God is going to be honored. Only God is going to be honored. It's the same calling on our life. Folks, we've got to understand that when we raise our hands to God, even today, when we raise our hands to God and say, I am yours, and I am forgiven, and I am saved, I am following you, I'm walking with you, I'm trusting in you, I am placing my faith in you, then we don't need to look to the world for it to make us. Because the world can't make us. Gold and silver cannot make us. But the one who made heaven and earth, now he can make us and sustain us and carry us from day to day. I will make your name great, God said to Abraham. I'll make your name great. Man, it's not just that you're going to be a great nation. You're going to have a great name. A great name. What does it take to make a great name for oneself. Well, if you look at the world and those who are successful in the world, you will see that they push through obstacles. They push through obstacles until they endure long enough to obtain their goals. And they become a big name in the world. Y'all know a few big names in the world, don't you? Business people I'm talking about. It's easy to be an actor, isn't it? And I throw this out there without pointing any fingers, but we find a lot of them in our churches too, actors. Being an actor is easy. But being real, that's hard. And people make names for themselves because they take it. And they keep pushing. When the obstacle comes, they fight through. They reach their goals. It might look a little differently than what they had written out, but the goal is achieved because they are determined and they will make it no matter what comes at them. That's what it takes to make a great name. That's in the world. Do you know what it takes to make a great name of yourself before God? Because there's a difference. What it takes, if you want to make a great name of yourself before God, and I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about God. Then what you must endure is the obstacle of self. You understand what I'm saying? You must endure the obstacle of who you are. And if Sodom comes to you with a great reward, are you going to take it or are you going to stand back and say, I will not let you have this place in my life. God will make me. See, Abraham could have gotten too big for his britches. Have you ever heard that term before? Got too big for his britches. Trouble comes when you get too big for your britches, doesn't it? Abraham didn't get too big for his britches. He kept his ego in check. And he kept his God elevated. And if you want to have a name before God, then you've got to have God's name before you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't say, look at me. You have to say, look at the God who is with me. It's not me. It's Him. It's all Him. I have nothing about me that is worthy of praise or of adoration. There's nothing to honor me about. But raise your hands to God because it's Him. It's all Him. Everything is Him. And then one day, you might not be a great nation, but in your life you can look back from where you were to where you are and you can see a good life that was lived. You can look back and see where God was with you. You can look back and say, I know that you're real because I have lived with you through who I am to be who you want me to be. And look where we've gotten, Lord. Now, some of us will get a little further than others because some of us are more hard-headed. Amen. Amen, right? But you know what's more important than anything than that? It's not that you make a name of yourself. It's that you know the name of God. You know the name of Jesus. And that the one who is above all, the name above all names, knows your name. That's how you make your name great. You become known by name in the presence of the Father and His angels. You have your name in the book of life. You want a great name, then get rid of self and put God in its place. It's not easy. It's hard. You have to keep your ego in check. Don't let your britches get too big. And remember where it began and where it's going and who is leading. And it begins with Jesus, and we walk with Jesus, and it's leading us home in the presence of Jesus. That's my goal in life. No matter what other goal I might have had in life, my biggest and most important goal in life is that I live and am known by God. That He knows my name. A name that's not worthy to be called by Him. But because of His love and His mercy and His grace, He has promised to call me by name. To call you by name. I haven't done anything. He did it. And He said, Joel, let's take a journey. I said, Lord, do you know what you're asking? He said, yeah, do you know what you're getting into? And I said, no, but I know who I'm trusting. I'm trusting you. You see, Abraham was called to walk in faith and to walk in trust. And God said to him, I will make you a great nation and I will make your name great. And we still know of Abraham. We still hear Abraham's name throughout all of the world. But it's not because of who he was alone. It's because of who he was in God and of the trials that he faced to honor God. The times that he put self to the side and put God first. King of Sodom is one. How many of you remember the time God said to him, I want you to take your son of promise, and I want you to take him to the altar, and I want you to sacrifice him for me. Abraham didn't say a word back. He just packed up and started the journey. He just packed up and started the journey. The cost to himself was never given a consideration because he trusted and had faith in God. Because he trusted and had faith in God. Now you're called today to walk with Christ. We're called to be a new creation in Christ. We are called to walk a path that's unknown, a path that's challenging, but a path that leads to a new home. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may also be. It's not here. It's not this world. It's in that day and in that place that is yet to come. But He's promised to take us if we will just follow. You're going to have to face Sodom. You're going to have to face the world. You're going to have to face yourself. And you're going to have to let God. Let go and let God. We've said it so many times in the past, haven't we? Let go and let God. How many of us are strong enough to do it? Because it takes strength. And that strength comes through Christ. This is why I like it. I love this. I know that I have my faith and hope secure in Jesus. He speaks this. Not only did he say to John and his disciples when he was walking with them that he was going to prepare a place for them, but after he had ascended and when he was speaking to John in the book of Revelation, he makes a comment there in Revelation chapter 3 to the faithful church. He said, to him who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Now that's a name that's great. That's the name that I am trying to obtain to. That's the name that I have asked him to secure me in. It's through faith, through trust. It's the same thing for all of us. Do you believe that Jesus will do these things? Then walk in faith. Walk in trust. And remember, self is serving self. And if it's easy, it must be the wrong path. Although I will say this, God sure is good when he brings those fresh, cool breezes and says, hey, let's sit for a while. Isn't that wonderful? One day, in that new heaven, that new Jerusalem, where sin can no longer find us and harm us, we won't have to worry anymore. No more struggles. No more pains. But it begins today. It begins every day for us who walk in faith. And we know God is real. And we trust him to be there no matter what. But if you don't know Jesus, how can you take this step in faith? How can you take this step in trust? You just have to give God a chance. And he may be calling to you today. He may be saying to you, this is your time to find that new name. Then why would you pass that by? Something in the world that's coming up? Let it go. Let it go. And give yourself to Christ. And give yourself the real opportunity and the real life that you're wanting and searching for. Find it today through faith in Christ. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, why not today? Why not right now? The altar is open. Will you come while we sing? Father, I thank you so much again for all that you have done for us, for all of us, for all that you have shown us and taught us, for all that you have helped us through, for all the memories that you have given and the hope of new memories to come, the hope of life that we've yet to see. And the promise that secures it. Lord, we trust you. We put our faith in you. And we thank you that you gave us that chance. But Lord, I do pray if there was one here that does not know you, Lord, open their eyes and their ears to see and to hear. Lord, open their heart to receive your Spirit. And I pray, help them to find hope and life in you. Lord, I ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come?